Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
One thing is certainly common, right? When we speak to CEOs and analysts about company results, a lot of it links back to where we are with economic data. A moment ago, we spoke about South Africans really pushing themselves to eat out more. But as we know, inflation has been eating at our pockets. Even when it comes to cell phone networks, the challenges we see with banking operators, all of it fundamentally comes down to how much money we have in our back pocket to spend on the things that we like. And this is where inflation appears to be dissipating slightly after holding interest rates quite steadily. On the back of a high interest inflation target between 5 to 6%, does seem as though there's hope and optimism that the MPC might respond to the inflation figures. CPI, consumer price inflation, having slowed to 4.6% in the month of July. Frank Blackmore, lead economist at KPMG, joins us now to tell us more. Mr. Blackmore, for an economist, I believe you must be sleeping very well of late on the back of some of the economic data we see.
Yes, it certainly is, sir. It makes a big change from what we saw in the previous two and a half years.
Yeah.
But as you say, I think it is an important important milestone that we're now reaching fractionally above the target of 4.5%, coming in at 4.6%. After waiting patiently since the highs of July 2022, if you can believe it, of 7.8%, we're nearly there.
That's true. We're nearly there. But as we know, the CPI basket is made up of a myriad of factors. There's food, there's transport, and many other cost factors that are viewed and looked at. Help us understand what are some of the underlying contributions here to this dip in inflation.
Well, I think it won't come as much of a surprise to most individuals in South Africa that the biggest component is housing, and the biggest part of that housing cost is electricity. We've been experiencing over 600% increases from Eskom in electricity costs over the past number of years, and that's still the biggest contributor to the basket. And given the request from Eskom for another 36% in the following year, I mean, it's still to be debated, but that remains the largest portion. For everybody who owns, rents, or needs electricity, that's the biggest cost. The second biggest here is the thing called miscellaneous goods and services, and that includes things like insurance costs, banking fees, and personal expenses. That's contributed 1 percentage point. And then we still have significant impacts from food and beverage, as well as transport costs, although those two latter costs have been decreasing over the recent months.
I'm intrigued by food. It seems as though that's the one aspect that hasn't gone down. And month on month, we've been bemoaning whether it's vegetables, chocolates have gone up because of the price of cocoa. At one point, we spoke about orange juice. It's confusing. So I guess contextualize this for us, especially given some of the global factors that contribute to food inflation.
No, I think it's right. And when we do mention things like food and beverage, then, you know, it could be anything. And I think it has been a number of things. They've sort of, like the 400-meter relay race, they've passed the baton. So it started out with the Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Of course, then things such as oil, meaning cooking oils as well, and a lot of your cereals and grains, wheat, etc., started rising. And, of course, that enters things like breads and so forth, with cooking oil affecting many other goods, right? And then, as you correctly said, various vegetables had their turn, and that also came in from high load shedding, farmers needing to spend extra money on creating the cold chain, from obviously picking the produce onto our tables, had to be cold the whole way, and that required extra expenditure that couldn't rely on you know, Eskom electricity for all of that. So that added a cost component. As you've said, chocolate, weather effects, and now I think it's primarily through hot beverages, namely coffee.
Yes.
And low rainfall, both in Brazil and Vietnam, has meant coffee prices are rather high, and a lot of people, as one could guess, drink coffee in whatever form, and therefore it comes through in the food and beverages currently. The other stuff we've seen moderate, the other costs that I've mentioned.
Definitely. I've been seeing it in the coffee and the chocolates that I enjoy. So, Frank, I am a consumer who's been very vigilant there. And like many South Africans, as I monitor the price of goods, where inflation is sitting, looking at the metrics, but also monitoring my pocket, I'm also mindful of interest rates. And that's probably the one question everyone has been asking about, from investors to corporate clients, right down to consumers. So probabilities of a 25 basis points cut here from the local MPC?
Yeah, I think given today's number, it's a lot higher than it was yesterday. When the last data point that we had was the June data point at 5.1, things were still, well, you know, we're still quite far from the target. But given the 4.6 read, and I think expectations for further reductions actually in inflation between now and the end of the year, I think it's likely that we'll see a 25 basis point in September, and we could even see more than that in November if that trend continues.
Oh, this is exciting news. I can imagine many South Africans who have exposure to credit will be happy, but the savers will be taking a bit of a knock here too, right?
Yes. So there were two sides of the coin. A lot of people always think of consumers, and that's quite right, because 65% plus of GDP is made up of household consumption. And obviously, if we see a reduction in rates like this, it allows consumers to maybe save a bit on repaying debt. The cost of that debt is less expensive, puts more money in the pocket, and allows them to go and spend that money. And that's good for things like economic growth. But we must remember those consumers, they're two types. They're the borrowers and the lenders. And when the borrowers benefit from a decrease in interest rates, lenders, and those are typically people under fixed incomes, older persons, pensions, etc., they would lose marginally from a decrease in the interest rates at this point.
Definitely. Let's talk GDP for a moment. And as you mentioned, much of our growth is consumption-led. Early expectations for growth this year set, well below 1%, 1.2%. What are your expectations at KPMG?
Yeah, I think it will all depend on how the economy performs between now. Whether we get this interest rate reduction in September, I think it will be on the cards. And then, you know, how much spending power is out there still between now and the end of the year. But I don't think we could do worse than a 1.1, 1.2% for this year. But next year, I think we will see the real effects of a decrease in rates. Rates will continue, I think, to decrease if this trend continues into 2025, and the main benefits will then be reaped in that year.
Got you. Before I do let you go, what I am also keen to gauge is just your views on, we are optimistic, some of the economic data is pointing to these insights, but ongoing risks remain, right? And many of these themes are exogenous factors. Talk us through them that we just need to be cognizant of when it comes to our economic data.
Yeah, I think, well, of the other risks that we are aware of that are local is, you know, we can increase economic activity through consumption, et cetera, but only to a point. We need a lot of investment in infrastructure. The stories you've been flighting, in the beginning of this year regarding rail infrastructure, port infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. These things are now being addressed. I think a positive has been the Government of National Unity. I feel there's been some market optimism around what it will be able to do over the next few years. So I think that's a good thing. Also for sentiment reasons and being able to attract foreign investment into South Africa. I think these things can snowball quite easily into a positive cycle. The slightly larger economic growth plus the strategies to improve infrastructure leads to better growth in future and so forth. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a greater inflow of investment into South Africa over this period. Mm-hmm. But as you said, there are risks still remaining. We know there is still a war between Russia and Ukraine. We know there are problems within the Middle East. We know shipping routes have been affected, leading to increased costs globally as well. with the Red Sea being blocked and Suez Canal, etc. And I think the number one risk on a lot of people's minds would be this, what we call geopolitical risk elsewhere. But if things stay as they are and start to resolve, I think the world's going to enter a few good years.
Oh, let's certainly hope to. So we definitely need some good news to get us by here, Frank. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate the insight you've given us. And let's hope soon when we touch base in September that we'll have some good news to share from the MPC.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Fantastic. Thank you again. That's Frank Blackmore, lead economist at KPMG, helping us contextualize the CPI figures, which have dipped below 5%. 4.6% is where we trade came in at for the month of July. This is a positive, because if you've been listening to our conversations here on the show, you'd be well aware that it's a heavy signal to the MPC to potentially consider cutting interest rates. We need it. We're a consumption-led economy, and perhaps with softer interest rates, you and I can pay off our credit more quickly and speedily, and perhaps just might get out to eating at restaurants a lot sooner, like we saw with the Spur Corporation's numbers, or maybe paying off our children's school fees as well.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.